Praised be Jesus and Mary. It's important every year, at some point during the octave, I think, to at least once look at the role of Our Lady in the resurrection, her role as a special witness and as a privileged witness of the resurrection of our Lord, of her Son. Even though the Gospels don't mention this, even though many witnesses are mentioned in the Gospels throughout the octave. Today, the two disciples headed to Emmaus. The other days, the other holy women who went to visit the tomb, Mary Magdalene, Mary of Clopas, etc., the apostles, but never Our Lady. Did she, too, see Our Lord risen from the dead, or was she left out? Well, St. John Paul II dedicated time to this reflection, and we'll just look at an audience of his in which he dedicates his meditation to this subject. The Holy Father first points out what we were just saying, that the Gospels mention various appearances of the risen Christ, but not a meeting between Jesus and his mother. But this silence must not lead to the conclusion that after the resurrection, Christ did not appear to Mary. The first thing the Holy Father points out is that the silence of the Gospels cannot lead us to conclude that our Lord did not appear to his mother. It's simply unthinkable that he wouldn't have. If he brought this joy of the vision of himself back from the dead to all his other disciples, it's unthinkable that he would have left his mother out. So the silence of the Gospel invites us rather to seek the reasons why the evangelists made such a choice, to not speak of the encounter, of the meeting between Jesus and Mary. And the Holy Father goes on to list a few of these reasons. First, a reason of credibility. The Gospels mean to be credible historical documents. They mean to be history. They mean to give us proof, credible proof, that our Lord truly, with his flesh, left the tomb alive after being put to death on Good Friday. So if the authors of the New Testament don't speak of the mother's encounter with her risen son, perhaps this can be attributed to the fact that such a witness would have been considered too biased by those who denied the Lord's resurrection, and therefore not worthy of belief. Out of respect for our Lord and Our Lady, this encounter would have been left out. Why? Because by those reading it, it could have been considered too biased and underappreciated and maybe even scorned. A witness of the mother of Jesus seeing him after the resurrection from the dead might have been held in contempt as simply a figment of her imagination. So therefore, it was left out. Furthermore, another reason, the Gospels in general report only a small number of appearances by the risen Jesus, and certainly not a complete summary of all that happened during the 40 days after Easter. In fact, the evangelists tell us as much. St. John tells us that he didn't even try to write everything that happened in the life of our Lord, because the world wouldn't be big enough to contain all the books to do that. So the Gospels don't contain everything that happened, not even in the 40 days after Easter. St. Paul, in fact, one example. St. Paul tells us that Jesus appeared, for example, to more than 500 brethren at one time. And how do we explain the fact that an exceptional event of this kind, an appearance of Jesus to more than 500 people at once, an event known to so many, is not mentioned by the evangelists? It's an obvious sign that other appearances of the risen one were not recorded, although they were among the well-known events that occurred. And how could the Blessed Virgin, the Pope says, how could she, present in the first community of disciples, be excluded from those who met her divine Son after he had risen from the dead? Indeed, it's legitimate to think that the mother was probably the first person to whom the risen Jesus appeared. What are the indications of this? Could not Mary's absence from the group of women who went to the tomb at dawn indicate that she had already met Jesus? And the other women, disciples of our Lord, as soon as the Sabbath was over, went to anoint the body of Jesus, which they didn't have time to anoint properly with all due diligence and love and care that they would have liked to show him on Good Friday, because the Sabbath was beginning. So they went out on Easter Sunday. But Mary was absent. Why? Her absence indicates that she had already met Jesus. She already knew of his resurrection. She had already had an encounter with him. This deduction would also be confirmed by the fact that the first witnesses of the resurrection, by Jesus' own will, were the women who had remained faithful at the foot of the cross and therefore were more steadfast in faith. The women received apparitions of our Lord before even the apostles, who had been unfaithful, who had betrayed our Lord. Indeed, Jesus entrusts to one of them, to Mary Magdalene, the message to be passed on to the apostles. She's first, and then she's to communicate this to the apostles. Perhaps this fact allows us to think that Jesus showed himself first to his mother, because among the women and among all the disciples, she had been the most faithful and had kept her faith intact when put to the test. Lastly, the unique and special character of the Blessed Virgin's presence at Calvary and her perfect union with the Son in his suffering on the cross seem to postulate a very particular sharing on her part in the mystery of the resurrection. In the whole economy of the Incarnation, Our Lady has a special role throughout, from beginning to end, and especially in the redemption. And the redemption consists of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. The resurrection is the crowning moment of the redemption. He lays down his life and takes it back up again so that we too might have it, we might possess it. So if our Lord gave Our Lady a special role in the Incarnation, in his life on earth, in his passion and in his death, having her stand at the foot of the cross, it's logical that he would have given her a special role in the resurrection as the first witness, a privileged witness. John Paul II concludes, "It seems reasonable to think that Mary had had a personal contact with her risen Son so that she too could delight in the fullness of Paschal joy. Present at Calvary on Good Friday and in the cenacle on Pentecost, the Blessed Virgin, too, was probably a privileged witness of Christ's resurrection, completing in this way her participation in all the essential moments of the Paschal mystery." Precisely because Our Lady's role and experience of the resurrection was so special, was so privileged, we can greatly benefit from Our Lady by living the resurrection, by living the Easter season in her presence, by asking her to share in her faith in our Lord's rising from the dead, but also asking her to allow us to share in her special experience of this event. Allowing us to share that special joy that she had as his mother, as the first and privileged witness, so that, like her, we might live pervaded by the joy and the hope of this resurrection. And like Our Lady, we might one day arrive at possessing this eternal life that our Lord laid down and took back up and possesses for all eternity. Praised be Jesus and Mary.